We are live on a Wednesday morning, and Jack Motlanthe is here. We've just spent some time talking about travel.
Yeah.
Achie, who was just on the show with us, is off to Mauritius, he tells us, on his way. He's like, bye.
Yeah.
I'm going to Mauritius. I'll see you mofos later.
Yeah.
We're like, nice.
Yeah, we need to get our act together.
Imagine hopping on a plane right now and going to Mauritius. That would be very good. Oh. I love that place. I don't care what anybody says. That is paradise, right?
Oof. Yeah.
Paradise. Okay, so apparently there's a degree that they're going to do in South Africa and then launch. There's a lot of stupid degrees, but this one doesn't sound that stupid.
Mm-hmm.
South Africa's billionaires have demonstrated exceptional success on the global wealth stage. Johan Rupert, Patrice Motsepe, we know about all these guys, right?
Yeah.
So many of these people have pursued law degrees. Several attend the prestigious Stellenbosch Stellenbosch University. This suggests that that institution has played a pivotal role in shaping the financial acumen of South Africa's elite. I don't know. I know some pretty stupid people who went to Stellenbosch, so I'm. That's unfair, right? I mean, that's very unfair. But I know clever people who didn't go to university.
Right.
I know stupid people who did.
Yeah.
I don't think that universities can claim this, if you ask me.
Anyway. It's not a guarantee of anything, really.
So apparently what they're going to do is they're going to look at what universities and what degrees produce billionaires.
And okay.
I don't think this is a good subset of people to look at. First of all, billionaires are a very, very rare, very tiny percentage of the total number of people.
Yep.
Second of all, it isn't fair to say that billionaires who, if two or three of them went to the same university, that university is responsible for creating billionaires.
Yeah.
Or that a certain degree is the right one. This is a terrible idea because then you're going to get people enrolling for a degree at an institution because they want to be billionaires.
Yes.
Who doesn't want to be a billionaire?
Mm.
Everyone on earth would like to be either a billionaire or not. Guess what? No one's going to choose not. So this is a dumb idea that they're looking at. You can tell that this is a very, very stupid person who put this report together.
Yeah.
Because they don't understand that the billionaires aren't billionaires because they studied a certain thing at a certain institution. They're billionaires because they found a gap in the market and started selling things, or they accumulated a whole range of things that they wanted to sell to people, and they exploited opportunities in the market.
That's it.
There's no degree that can teach you that.
Nope.
Am I wrong?
Well, at least there's a degree that can teach you the basic fundamentals of it, but it really comes down to whether or not you're willing to do the work. That's all it is. That's the main difference between people that are billionaires. Yeah. In fact, the main difference between people that have got shit to do and those that don't. Really?
Gareth, I'm a long-term fan of yours and the show, so know this comes from a good place, but you're not cool enough for that couch. Sorry, man.
Okay, Carl.
Even James says that's not very nice.
Okay, but I mean, not cool enough. It's a couch. Like, what was Gareth supposed to do?
What if humans sat on for hundreds of years?
Yeah.
What am I meant to be on? An empty paint tin? What would you like me to be on? What are you talking about? What are you? Suddenly you're our interior decorating expert, huh? Is that what you are?
Let's call SAB. They can deliver a few crates. We'll sit on top of crates.
We'll sit on crates. And we'll have a brazier in the winter. Like homeless people on the street corner in the CBD.
We'll just put them bow like
Where would you like me to go?
For ambiance.
Here's the problem, right? And I have to deal with this too. I have to break old mental models. You're used to seeing me sitting behind a desk for 10 years? So we're trying something new. If it's totally rubbish, and so far I like the look of it, it feels more relaxed. It is more relaxed.
It's definitely
I feel
more
comfortable sitting here like this than I do behind a desk. It feels like very newsy.
Mm.
We've never been a news show. I mean, I'm not a journalist. Jack's not.
No.
None of our people are serious news people. We get some very, very serious news people in here as guests, but
sure.
I'd rather they were relaxed.
Yeah.
There's a good reason, Carl, that so many TV shows, so many great shows on the internet have people in a relaxed setting because it makes the people relaxed. So let's see how it goes. If it's really terrible, we'll turn it around.
Yeah, come on. Don't knock it until
you know what
try.
I mean. He says, don't be juvenile. You've come to the wrong place for that. At least we can now see that Gareth does have legs. I do, actually. I have not been crawling around in my torso. I was not about to enter the Paralympics this year. By the way, doesn't that start now?
Has it already started?
It starts today.
I've told you this before. I really don't watch the Paralympics. Like, I'm not interested at all.
Sure, that's very dismissive and politically incorrect of you.
I'm sorry. It gets me into trouble all the time.
You're not interested in Amakroko Kroko?
No. Not? No. Like, all the best to them. I'm not saying, you know, everyone should keep the same attitude as I do. Like, all the best to you. You did a great job. You qualified, make it to the, you know, bring back the gold and all of that good stuff. But I'm sorry, I can't watch it. Can't. I'm sorry.
All right. So there are lots of people here saying no PJ pants or tidy whities allowed any longer, says Morgs.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever worn, like, tracksuit pants for the show, no matter how, like, you know, cold it was or anything else. And look at
guilty.
You. But you make them look cool.
Yeah.
I can't do that. I know my limits. I know what I'm capable of and what I'm not. And then everybody's climbing in on Carl, calling him Dos Santos. Carl, I appreciate your feedback. Can everyone calm their tits? I was kidding. Touchy fuckers. Hey. See? But that's always a convenient thing to say when people, like, go at you. You're like, yeah, I was kidding.
Hey, come on. Calm down.
I wasn't upset, I promise you.
Yeah.
Percy says, you've changed, Jack.
How have I changed, Percy? Please tell me. Walk me through it so that we can have this conversation. I want to know how I've changed. Because he said that like he knows me personally. Let's see.
All right.
Maybe I've got a few blind spots. Who knows? Let's see.
Can we talk about something else that was on your agenda for the morning?
Yeah.
The philosophy of trying to fail.
So
This is interesting.
I saw this really interesting interview by Willem Dafoe, the Oscar winner. Yeah.
Okay.
And they asked him about how he views success. And that's where he brought up this philosophy of his where he tries to fail. So it's flipping expectations in your mind. So when he goes into a scene, he's not going in there trying to be perfect. So when you lower your expectations for yourself, like when you go out of your way to try and be bad, you only go up from there. So for argument's sake, people that are trying to start writing blogs or whatever the case may be, the idea is try write the worst thing you've ever written in your life and then be your own editor and lift it from that point up, right?
Yeah.
So if you start low, there's a really simple way to build up from there, which I found actually really cool. Because, I mean, when I think back to, like, when I was growing up and whatnot, we were always told to aim high, like, reach for the stars. You can be whatever you want to be.
And, yeah, I was raised with, like, that stuff too.
So it was demotivating in a weird way because everyone shot for perfection. And that is an illusion. Perfection doesn't exist. So when you flip the expectation, it kind of opens you up to not being afraid to try, which is what a lot of people get hung up on.
This idea has entered the public discourse recently, the idea that you should fail and fail fast, but that you should try to learn the lessons sooner rather than later.
Later, yeah.
And it kind of makes sense to me that you should try and write the worst blog ever so that that's out of the way and you can only improve from there. But I don't know. I mean, I still love mastery.
Yeah.
And I still think if you're not going to be the best at something, then let the people who are be the best at who will be the best at it do it. I love seeing someone who's just on top of their game, who delivers things perfectly, whether it's a product, whether it's a service, whether it's an idea. I love perfection. I realized this about myself a while ago, that I love beautiful things. I don't think anyone actively loves ugly things.
Yeah.
But I love beautiful buildings. I love beautiful music. I love great paintings. I love beautiful people, right? Everything that feels to me like it's coming close to perfection.
Yeah.
Instantly is 10 times more interesting than anything that's trying.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think this why this was interesting to me is because of the beginning phases of things, right? I've actually been caught up in a lot of back and forth in my own mind about whether I should start something or not. So by removing the goal that is perfection, what you're speaking to,
mm-hmm.
it helps propel you forward. So it actually gets you started, which is what I took away from the interview. I think it's really about understanding that you won't achieve mastery or perfection if you don't start. You need to at least start.
I agree with that. I just don't know whether... You see, I've never really been one to comfortably incorporate the fail part.
Okay.
And I've got to learn that. So I know it makes sense. What you're explaining is perfectly logical. Mm. I've seen it work for other people. It's a horrible feeling to fail.
Yeah, it is.
It's a bad feeling.
So a couple of months ago, I was telling you about Kendrick Lamar and Drake's battle. One of the lines that he says in his song is, I learn more of myself when I'm in a loss. Like, there's certain things that failure will teach you that success just can't. So I think being a lot more comfortable with the idea of failing, not to say that that is your aim,
yeah,
but
sure.
being comfortable with it, kind of, it removes the doubt in your mind. You give it a shot.
It's just so counterintuitive to go into something and be comfortable with failure.
Yeah, true.
It's the opposite of what I've been taught to do. I'm more of that school of like, you know, reach for the dreams.
Stars, yeah.
But also try not to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whereas what you're telling me is try to fail.
Yeah.
That's something
that way you get it out of the way.
I get it though. I got to work on that.
Yeah?
So I see Russi Erasmus is trending for some reason. What's is there new news on the Springboks? Maybe somebody in the comments can help us with that, because whenever Russi apparently did a press conference yesterday and said some things, and people are interested in that. I'm not sure.
I saw a tiny little clip. I didn't actually see the entirety of it, but I think he was mentioning something about two of the players were injured and they had to find a third one or something along those lines. I think something like that.
Okay, well, I don't know. But every time I see Russi trending, I get a bit nervous. Listen, anytime I see anyone trending, I get a bit nervous. He announced the squad.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And then three of our key locks are injured for this weekend.
Right, so what Jack is saying.
Yeah. Okay. And the unfortunate thing is we're playing the All Blacks this weekend. Hey, James.
Saturday at 5 o'clock.
Yeah. And look, over the past couple of weeks, the All Blacks have not had a fun time. So I think they are set for a win, and it might just happen at our expense, but we'll see.
Yeah. I also see here somebody says on Twitter, X, I'd literally pay more tax to see Gareth Cliff in Parliament. Well, you know what's great is you don't ever have to worry about that.
Yeah. You'll never do it?
Not for love or money.
Ay, ay, ay.
I have zero interest in being your political representative. I don't even want to be my political representative. Politics is at the opposite end of whatever I want to achieve in my life. I can promise you that.
Do you know, I think that would really be interesting.
Never,
Gareth Cliff
never
in
happen.
Parliament? Oh my goodness.
No, it's never going to happen.
Like I can already hear the fragile egos breaking all over the place.
I mean, it would be fun to see those people who really can't handle me.
Yeah,
it'd I'd
be
like
hilarious.
To see them like screaming and crying. But even that's not enough. Like, I believe in the power of negative reinforcement, right? But even that, like, as fun as it would be to see a bunch of people break down into absolute coronary thromboses.
Yeah.
It's not enough to make me want to do it. Just, you know what politics is like. You've had it in your family.
Oh,
it can
God.
Be the most horrible thing ever. I like my life.
Oh, Comrade Cliff.
I don't see it ever becoming a thing. And also, I mean, like, if you're looking for someone to save you, maybe it's you. Like, if you're the person who thinks I should go, why don't you go?
See?
Get me to vote for you.
I said
that's
this,
a better place to be.
I said this last week. If you have a gripe with the world or some sort of an issue, it is your responsibility to fix it.
Mm.
because you're the one that came across the problem, right?
Yeah.
Who else must fix it?
Absolutely. I got my plates full, thank you very much. I am building a vegetable garden.
Now that's cool.
That's more cool than going to Parliament.
Yeah, now that.
There's nothing there for me that I want, but I am building a vegetable garden. So I'm building these four boxes that I'm going to put really good soil in. I'm testing the light. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday. He's built this awesome veggie garden. He and his girlfriend have got like everything growing there.
Mm.
He's got a lot more space than I do. It's limited, but I think I can grow tomatoes, chilies, peppers, carrots, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to have, for that size of vegetable garden, I'm going to have the best one.
Man,
I'm excited. I can't tell you how excited I am about this. This just shows you how old I'm getting, right?
No, it's actually really cool.
Having your own vegetable garden is the ultimate flex.
It is.
You don't have to go and get the stuff from the shops. I can make sure it's the right quality of stuff. It's all about the soil and how often you water it, how much sun it gets, all that kind of thing. I can even get the right seeds from the right people. I can't tell you. I'm so excited about this. So at the moment, there's a ton of bricks in my driveway. There's packets of cement and sand. And I'm going to be doing that. That's my project for the next month and a bit.
That's really cool. So this really close friend of mine in Valcom, Spusiso, he's somewhere in the comment section.
Yes.
He's also got a vegetable garden in his yard.
Nice.
And he's got a pest. A mole keeps showing up.
By the way, I
just
want to say that before you finish that story, my vegetable garden has nothing to do with the onset of the Paralympics, okay?
Oh,
I'm saying they're separate vegetables. I mean, it's not the same thing, all right? See why I can't go to Parliament? You see why you can't put me in Parliament? Huh? You see, even my producers go, oh. All right, so your friend has a mole?
Yes, he's got a mole problem. In his vegetable garden. Oh, my God.
I had to make your last show count,
yes,
right?
Yes,
let's get
please.
Into trouble with somebody.
Can we just?
Sure.
But anyway...
Don't pretend that's not what you come for.
Yeah, that is what we come for. So back to the vegetables, the ones that are in the ground. But like, so.
Hey, long jumps. You plant yourself.
Oh my goodness.
Hermine says in the comments, she says, you already have a vegetable garden in the comments section. Spot on. I love you guys. All right. So let's get to your friend.
Oh, my goodness. With all of these vegetables around, you should be making soup, man. So he's attempted. In fact, his garden kind of grows from time to time, but every 2 or 3 weeks, one of his plants are missing because this mole will just show up randomly overnight and eat his veggies.
Keep it together, Jack. Come on.
Okay. Back at it. Yeah. But yeah, I love the idea of a vegetable garden. You should.
Arbat's got an old one, but a good one. The hardest part of a vegetable to eat is the wheelchair.
That is terrible.
No one has cared about the Paralympics since Oscar ran into some trouble with the law. I'm just taking the Pistorius. Okay, very good.
Yes.
Very good, Sanele.
Goodness.
All right, so pests, yes, it's a real problem.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about how to deal with that, but I do have a gun.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't mind if there's a serious pest problem just blasting.
By the way, please take me with you the next time you go to the range.
Yeah, we will. No, we'll do that.
Love it.
Do that. That's for sure. Hey, it's summer's coming, man.
Yeah.
I see everything starting to just like make its move to go green.
Right.
You know, like all the trees, there are little buds and shoots, and it's very exciting. I mean, this is my favorite time of year. From September the 1st, I am a happy guy to be around. Everybody around me is thrilled when they're around me in September, October, November, December.
Yep.
the
short
best
sleeve
time.
T-shirts, man.
Oh, man, it's going to be good.
Oh.
I'm ready for it. And I'll have a vegetable garden.
Yes.
So that's going to make it even better.
It's going to be great.
Who knew this was going to be the main topic of discussion? I do like, you know what, the honest truth is I love a project. So if I can get into something, and I know this is something that's going to last for a while.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a quick high of like a month and you're enjoying yourself for that month and then you lose interest. Like you can grow different things at different times of the year and it does feel like something you should be able to do. I mean, our ancestors, if they didn't do this, they would die.
Yeah.
So we should all have it in us to be able to at least grow enough to eat in your fucking salad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I was introduced to that idea like when I was a kid, my grandmother. So Khalema Mutlanti's mom.
Ah, Khalema's mom.
Yes.
Whose name was?
Masifako.
Masifako.
Yes.
Very good.
We had, like, I mean, in Soweto, it's not like you've got a whole lot of space, but in the backyard, we used to grow our own watermelon, pumpkin, spinach, that kind of stuff.
Nice.
So
Maroch.
Yeah. Moroch.
Moroch.
Yes. So we would, every now and again, she'd send us out, and we're like, yo, go chop that off, and let's come make some dinner, you know? And, you know, with all the GMOs that are introduced into food these days, you might be better off just growing your own shit.
Hey, this is bad news, but Carl says, don't get too excited. Apparently tomorrow and Friday are very cold. Puss cold, he says. Yeah, there's always that
last gasp of wind.
Yeah, there's that vicious streak.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when you leave a room after you've had a fight with someone and you've both had your say, and then she or he has to go, and you're ugly son of a bitch too.
Yeah,
or like
yeah.
They have to throw in that last, that's winter. Winter's like this angry person. And as soon as you think you've settled things, like, okay, cool, let's agree to disagree or something banal like that. And then you walk out and then they're like, yeah, and you're pigeon-toed. I never liked you. You've got funny teeth. One eye looks like that and the other one like that.
Yeah.
Some vicious comment at the end of it. That's kind of what winter does.
Yeah. They won't leave you alone.
Absolutely. Gareth, you're so nice today, says Nay. I feel like an idiot for being afraid you were going to tell me to F off when I saw you at the gym last week. After I said Gareth, I completely froze. Oh, is that you? I do remember somebody going, oh, Gareth. I thought, wow, that person's definitely got problems. But I didn't know it was you, Snay.
It's funny. Like,
you could have said hello. I wouldn't have been horrible.
Yeah. It's so funny how the people that you admire, somehow in your mind, you work them up so much that they stop being people. Like there's this figment in your mind. Like you couldn't just walk up and say, hi, Snai.
Yeah. Listen, it happens to all of us. I remember when I said hello to the actor Jack Nicholson courtside at an NBA All-Star game.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty cool place because there's a lot of famous people wandering around.
Uh-huh.
I just wish I'd been more... I was so dumb. I was like, hello, Mr. Nicholson. Oh, I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
I'd like to have said something cool to him, but you know, you can't plan these things.
Yeah, it is what it is.
You don't know what you're going to do. Plus, stuff that comes out of your mouth is inevitably going to be gut responses. It's not going to be well thought through.
Mm.
You know, very seldom do you have someone who's so relaxed and so capable in any situation that they just know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
And even the people you think can do that sometimes screw it up.
And sometimes you're surprised at yourself, right? Like there's certain people that you bump into that maybe you never thought you would,
right?
And they catch you by surprise. You turn around and they're like, yeah. Oh my God, you know?
No, that's
so
fair.
It's a human response, I guess. It's okay.
Okay, seeds are mostly GMO. It sucks. Few seeds from GMO veggies don't germinate. Unless you buy them from someone who's already growing stuff, like you might have a farmer friend or someone who's got a red. Look, there's my veggie garden, see? I love that, boys. Suddenly we're in the veggie garden. Look how happy I am. Look, Farmer Gareth. Oh, hello, everybody. I'm going to grow some carrots and some chives today. In fact, I look like that garden lesbian. You know, there's that show with that woman who does the...
No, I've never
seen that. Everybody. All right, what you want to do is you want to get two pots, right? And you want to put rocks at the bottom of the pots because then that helps with drainage. And on top of the rocks, you put some good soil, but like, I mean really properly good soil. I get it from the West Rand. That's the best place. And then after you've put the soil, you put some loamy stuff and some leaf mulch and all that shit at the top. Like, I would love an honest gardening program where you actually got like...
legit info.
Yeah, you'd have like... The Garden Lesbian, brought to you by... And then you got like this really butch chick who's like... Because they're the ones you want to get the advice from.
Yeah.
They're the ones who know. Yeah, seriously. And she'd go, how's it?
Yeah.
No messing around. Like, she's like, how's it? I'm the Garden Lesbian. Right, let's get straight to it.
Yeah.
I would love that. That would be a show worth watching.
I made that little spade.
When I use a shovel, I put my buffaloes on and I push down hard. That's what you want.
You put your what on?
You put your buffalo boots on and you push down hard. And I'll tell you something, there wouldn't be any of this bullshit about like dream catchers hanging. She'd be like, nah, I like that cock. I like leafy plants. I like deciduous plants. That's what I'm into. I would watch that show every week, I swear to God. They just don't label these things properly. They try to like hide it. They must just make it what it is.
Oh.
Tell you what, I'm going to do it.
Eek, man.
I'm not going to make a gardening show.
Yeah.
But I would watch it too.
I'll
produce that show.
I would watch it. Oh my goodness.
Do you do it on a stool when you do garden work, Gareth? Yeah, like I'm sitting here on a couch. Yeah, you want to be in the, you want to see the muddy feet and all that stuff. Because it's not you don't do that in a pretty way.
Mm-mm.
Like gardening has got to be a mess. You've got to have soil under your fingernails and, you know, so do it properly. South Africa already has a garden lesbian, says Bitcoin Boot. Okay, but that's great. Then she must call herself that. I'm telling you, it would be great branding. Gareth can be the new Evita B, the lesbian gardener. Listen, we've learned...
The lesbian gardener.
We've learned a lot of cool stuff this week. We learned about demure on Monday.
Yes.
Which is a big thing. Simpiwe started that on Friday.
Yeah, she did.
You just told us what in the Gen Z world, what is the word they're using now?
Sigma male.
Sigma. Mm. But we're going to be launching a new show soon. I can't tell you too much about it, where it'll be intergenerational. We'll finally have someone from, you know, the teens and early 20s telling us about how they speak, because it's a whole different language.
It really is.
I don't understand a damn thing about it. And if you don't have someone like that in your world, you won't understand.
Mm-mm.
It will make no sense to you.
Yep.
All right. on to some other things quickly. I see that the police are trending, but then that's normal in this country. We spoke about this briefly on Monday, but that building that burnt down... I'm still confused as to, like, how can they not track down the owner of the building? How do they not know? Because the people who were living in the building were paying rent to someone. So if they're paying rent, they just have to follow the money to the person who the rent's going to, and then they'll know who owns the building or who's pretending to own the building, and they can hold that person responsible.
I mean, even the idea of a hijacked building is so wild to me. Like, you hijacked an entire building. Like, who... How does that even make sense?
The municipality can find out how much water you're using. Are you telling me they can't tell you who owns a building?
What?
They know how many liters of water and how many kilowatts of electricity you use.
Yeah.
And you're telling me they can't figure out who owns a building?
That is madness.
I don't believe it. Yeah.
Which is why, like, whenever I hear someone say government, I'm like, yo, guys, like... Let's watch that very closely, because South Africa's government has almost gone out of its way to show us that there's always a little room for you to do whatever it is that you want. As long as you've got enough money to fill the pockets of the people who you need to fill. And seemingly, the chain of command doesn't go that high, clearly. Like, you don't have to bribe too many people.
Yeah, correct.
Two or three people on the ground and you're fine.
But the point is, you can always follow the money.
You have to follow the money.
So if whether it's electronic transactions or it's cash in an envelope, it has to go somewhere.
Yeah.
So you can find out who it's going to and you can hold them responsible.
Mm-hmm.
If they're the people who purport to be the owners of this building and they're the ones who put up the illegal connections or illegal water or whatever it is that they've got going on there, the fire apparently started because of illegal connections.
Mm-hmm.
You know who to get.
Yep.
Like, we know who to put in jail. That's the person we got to go for. This is like the country of no accountability.
Yep. But every now and again, there's pockets of really great news that comes out of the country. In KZN, they were doing a whole host of raids and all of this stuff, and they found illegal immigrants and all of this stuff. Yeah. So at least there are police people in this country that are doing their job. So salute to all the police men and women in KZN. Keep doing the good job, man. Keep doing a good job.
Agreed. Mm. Agreed. I saw our deputy president was busy. He gave a press conference yesterday about the National Council provinces. Do you know anything about that?
Mm-mm. Isn't he like kind of our president right now? Cyril's got an eye infection or something like that.
Really? I didn't know this.
Yeah. He was
so
like,
we are under the control of Paul Mashatile.
Paul Mashatile.
Okay,
as long
let's
as his security guards don't come anywhere near you, you're fine.
I didn't even know that Cyril had an eye infection. How embarrassing.
Yeah, he's got some sort of problem with his eyes and decided, hey,
Shim.
Paul, can you just quick fast?
Stand in.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, people don't even really know how often that happens, but whenever the president travels overseas,
right.
The deputy president stands in, or one of the ministers.
Mm.
So it could be anybody. Before, I know that once Mangosuthu Buthelezi was the stand-in president,
mm-hmm.
when Thabo was president,
yeah.
when Thabo Mbeki was our president, and while Mangosuthu was in charge, he invaded Lesotho. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you could have a lot of fun if you're the stand-in president.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, I think it could be quite nice.
Seriously.
Just decide, we'll take Lesotho. I mean, it didn't work.
It didn't, yeah.
But it could have been a good game, you know? Talk about like...
Do you know what I would do if I was like interim president? I would pardon all of my homies.
Oh,
all
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How many homies do you have in jail, though?
I've got a couple. I've got a couple.
Jack. We're finding out all of this on your last show. I'm
seriously. I grew up in Midoland, Soweto. It was bound to happen, okay?
True.
And truthfully, the reason I am so street smart is because of those people that unfortunately are behind bars right now,
mm-hmm.
which is why going to jail doesn't really worry me. As long as they take me to the prison here in Joburg, I'll be fine.
Well, let us change the subject to something much more positive and useful this morning.
Yeah.
You'll remember just the other day, we spoke to somebody about Old Mutual's SME Go.
Yeah,
remember?
Yeah.
And we started talking about how there is all kinds of incredible and well thought through stuff that can be very, very helpful to businesses. And we thought rather than talk to the same people over and over again, even though they might have all kinds of info for us. And we kind of ran out of time last week. But I wanted to speak to somebody who started their own business, who runs their own business, who's made use of these facilities just to show that they are actually useful. So we're going to speak to Ntombenhle Makholwa, who is the founder of Afro Botanics. We're going to find out what that is all about. She is an innovative entrepreneur and the visionary founder of Afro Botanics. It is a leading South African brand. They specialize in natural hair and beauty products. Now, this is an awesome area to be involved in. I mean, we know there's big money to be made if you
massive,
do it right.
Massive.
And you have to know your stuff.
Yes.
Especially if it comes to like natural beauty and natural hair and beauty products and all of that stuff. She has become a prominent figure in the beauty and personal care industry. We're going to get to meet her. And we're going to talk a little bit about what she thinks of Old Mutual SME Go in just a moment. And that's from a business that has benefited from working with them. And I thought, who better than to talk to Ntombenhle?
The proof must be in the pudding.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
So shall we bring her in? What's this? What's going on? Oh, she's wearing green.
She's wearing,
oh, Jesus. Oh, shame, Ntombenhle. What do you guys do? Look at that.
We're making it blue.
Wow.
You're making
Look
it
at
blue.
This.
Okay.
Look. They're going to change the whole thing. Well, guys, this is exciting, right?
It's working on the edge, for sure.
I like this. So we're going to have half of the background blue and half of it green. Look
this
at these producers. This is so much fun.
This should be
You didn't think to tell Ntombenhle to not wear green. I mean, that would have solved your problem. Oh, James.
Right.
I love this. We learn on the trot. We got a brand new set today. It's very, very exciting. Well done. Good thinking. Otherwise, she would have disappeared. Don't worry, Ntombenhle. We've got your back.
We would have been just talking to a pretty head.
I know. Yes, exactly. But at least that would have shown off the product, yeah. Right? All right, so let's just talk about your business, Afro Botanics. And why don't you tell us a little bit about that and what inspired you to start the company? And first of all, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Nice to have you here.
To be here.
Oh, very, very good. Let's see how this looks.
Let's see.
The boys have been messing around with the production. Let's see. How are we looking there, gents? Okay. All right. No problem. This is very exciting. They've literally made this happen on the trot. We'll see. I mean, Jack might come out with three heads in this shot, but let's give it a try. What, are you moving it around? No?
There we go.
I'm amazed that you even thought that, I mean, this is a solution.
Yeah.
I like this, James. Well done. Okay. Very exciting. I can't wait to see what we're going to see. Let's just give them a second. This could be quite exciting. Are we? Look at that.
Wow.
Oh, no. Now, that is a very... Look at how great you look.
That is so cool.
I'm very impressed. Okay, so tell us about Afro Botanics.
So I started Afro Botanics in 2011. So we are almost 13 years old. And it was inspired really by my need to be able to wear natural African hair. And I'm not sure if you know much about our hair, but most of the time we either straighten it with really harsh chemicals to soften it, and we wear hair extensions and human hair weaves, and I just wanted to be able to wear my hair naturally. And so we need to have ingredients that soften our hair so that we're able to comb and have the afro to manipulate it without the pain. And at the time, it wasn't a thing. So I had my grandmother was a traditional medicinal woman. She knew how to use different herbs for healing, and she showed me how they used to soften their hair using aloe vera gel, like shrubs that grow by the river that foam naturally and soften the hair, marula oil. And she used to have a huge afro underneath her covers, you know, African women.
She had a duke.
She had a duke. And she used to be able to take care of her hair, and it was huge. And I'd never been able to, because my hair would grow to a certain point and break off. Mm. Unfortunately, due to how, you know, culturally and our socio-political situation, we lost the ability to pass down information on how to take care of our skin, our hair. And so then Afro Botanics was all about celebrating that, using African botanical ingredients, African heritage to take care of ourselves in a non-toxic way. Because at the time already I had a daughter, and I didn't like the fact that we use things that are mineral oil heavy, petroleum jelly heavy, which is we see now that those kind of plastic derived ingredients are causing
harm.
So that's how I started it. And I started in 2011. At first, I used a contract manufacturer. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, I was pushed into manufacturing because I was told to get funding, I must be a manufacturer.
Right. And that's expensive to do on your own.
Manufacturing is, if you can avoid manufacturing on your own, don't, because it's like running two businesses. Building a brand in manufacturing, you don't want to do that.
Right. Yeah.
From the get-go. I mean, even big guys like your Unilevers also still contract manufacturer. And it took me up until 2015 to be able to get the products into game, mass mart stores, and then we got into Pick and Pays, into Clicks. And yeah, we started off with about 5 products. We now have over 50 products that we produce.
Amazing.
Wow.
Across natural hair, natural body, natural baby products, and even eco-friendly home care products like dishwash.
That's terrific, because we all know also that the beauty industry has had a lot of fingers pointed at it across the world for the damage they do to the ecology, the dangerous chemicals they use, the danger that they put, frankly, the customers in. Mm-hmm. And even though these things are tested, sometimes they're tested in the most unethical ways too. So I love this, and I think it would obviously appeal to people on that basis. But the fact that it works beautifully too is the most important thing, right?
It works magnificently, because we have now a new wave of mothers who want their children to grow up with natural hair, loving how they are, how they look naturally, and also just women themselves being able to go to work having their natural hair, whether it's an afro or dreadlocks like myself. And we've been doing so well that our biggest customer base, people who are searching for our products, are actually Americans. So we are looking to take our products to America in the next 5 years.
Well, I wish you the best of luck. That sounds phenomenal. I mean, you're gonna be earning dollars now.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Next lunch is on you. Domenele, tell me quickly about the role of SME Go, because there are a lot of things that when you're running your own business, you don't want to be paying attention to. Not that you shouldn't, but you don't have time. Like, you can't be doing everything. So how did they come in and help you with some of the processes and some of the ideas?
So I first came across SME Go in 2021. And obviously, we'd had a huge major shakeup with COVID.
Sure.
And that hit us in terms of our revenue. And just after that, in March 2021, we ran into the Ukraine-Russia war.
Mm.
And you'd wonder, how would a war in Russia and Ukraine affect us? I also didn't expect that. But we found that a lot of the natural oils that go into some of the ingredients we use come from Ukraine.
Really? Yeah.
And also then there was a ripple effect where the Asian countries didn't want to supply with coconut oil and all the different ingredients that they also supply us with. And we found ourselves with a shortage of products and raw materials. And so we were not able to deliver on our orders. And that meant cash flow issues. And so I went to SME Go looking for assistance with filling in that cash flow and being able to stock up on raw materials in order for me to have enough supply for the demand. And it was very also interesting because at the time, a lot of the talk around business and manufacturing was to run a lean machine. So you wanted to have the least amount of raw materials, the least amount of stock, so that you have more money going. That was the thinking and how everyone
because
was talking at the
time.
Because
when stock is sitting on shelves, it's costing you money. Yeah.
Yes, that was the thinking. But that, the COVID and that war taught us, you need to go back to the old school way of thinking and operating, where you have at least 3 months' worth of stock available at any given time. So that's why I went to them to look for funding. And it was the fastest funding approval I've ever gotten.
How long did it take?
It took maximum 2 weeks for us from application to actually getting the money. And at the time, I didn't even have a record of working with them.
But, I mean, let's just think about the consequences of that not happening. Because for you and so many other small businesses, especially at that time, this is make or break stuff.
Yeah.
Here you are, you've already put blood and sweat and toil into how many years of work before that.
Yeah.
And then due to no fault of your own, you find yourself in a position where it's like survival.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hadn't have got that, then it could have meant the end of your amazing business.
It could have. It could have. I mean, I had been banking with a particular bank for years, but it still takes about 2 months to get, your overdraft, your loans. They were really, I've gone for different types of fundings over the years.
Yeah.
And they were the fastest that I was able to get.
That's incredible.
Well, this is an amazing
kudos to them, because also it's very difficult. Anyone who's got a business in this country at the moment knows right now to get funding for anything is almost impossible, because the kinds of things that they want are things that you can't often give. You know, projections for the next 5 years or financial
contracts.
Statements, yeah. Contracts, current suppliers, all of that kind of stuff. Sometimes it's very hard to get that.
Yeah.
And if you're in a pinch like you were, credit to them and credit to you, because obviously you were driving this.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're in a very healthy position.
Well, we're in a growth position. I mean, you're always trying to grow and reinvest in the business.
Of course.
We're in year 13 and we're looking, natural products are still a niche product. So now we're still trying to go into more your mass. We've been available mainly at your Clicks types of stores.
Yeah.
And now we want to be available in every spaza. So that's the current project we're busy with. And we have people at the JSE assisting us to get into the spazas. It's always a constant. It's not, you never get comfortable, but it's always reinvesting for growth to go to the next level.
It's very exciting.
It's exciting and scary, but yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm curious also about your own feelings about this now, having been at the helm and starting your own thing and surviving that very tough time to going into this growth phase that you're talking about. When people say to you, oh, it must be so great to be an entrepreneur, what do you say to them?
Look, Gareth, I wouldn't have it any other way. Entrepreneurship is hard. It's really hard. I've never been so stressed in my life for continuous amount of time.
Sure.
But I still wake up excited to go to work. Before I left, I was in government before I got into this. Oof. And I felt so uninspired. You know, I felt so drained. But now every day I wake up and it's exciting. I know I'll meet up or encounter huge problems. Our truck will either will break down, or we were part of the people who got looted, and we had to claim. So there's always something exciting that's going on. And also for me, it's about making a difference, because my brand really is about helping women and young black girls to see the power of who they are. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy coming up with new ways of communicating that and empowering people.
Well, when people talk about like profits and balance sheets and projections and the kinds of risks and rewards that you take, what you're talking about there is, I think, beyond that in terms of where your ultimate goal is, and that is the purpose, right? Which is to help these young women in a market that hasn't always served them, where they haven't had necessarily the number of options that they have. I think it's amazing. You're changing people's lives.
And I mean, also pioneering, because I mean, like the other day, some company was doing market research, and or even when you Google, even Chick Chat, Afrobotanics comes up as one of those leading African brands. Not just African, because we're actually going toe-to-toe, head-to-head with American, you know, with your big guys. And being in a pioneering space can be hard and scary at the same time. But I think that we need to change a lot of things. I'm part of those group of brands that are changing how our shelves look. Yeah. The fact that a lot of our grocery stores, our, you know, the pick and pays are still 90% export products when we want to be manufacturing. I mean, import products. We want to be manufacturing because the more we manufacture, the more jobs we create. And the more jobs we create, the bigger the economy. So, yeah, it's fun to be at the forefront of trying to change that reality.
Seemingly working for the government builds so much discontent that you have to change the industry.
I tell you.
I love it.
Please, yeah, we can't even go into the conversation about it.
Well, I get the feeling maybe Leanne is in the hair industry, because she says, would you go into the professional hair industry and train Afro hairstylists?
That's actually an opportunity we're looking at, because most of our hairstylists, so we've got over 26,000 hair salons in the country, targeting, I mean, those that are looking at African hair, and only 95% of them are not trained. So
My girlfriends who are black, always when they start talking about hair, I just step the hell out of that conversation. First of all, because it is not something I want to find myself in the crosshairs of, if you'll pardon the pun, the use crosshairs.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's so much there that I don't understand. And when they do talk about it, it is fascinating to me how long some women sit in the chair at those hair salons to get the whatever it is, the weave, the braids, the dreadlocks done. It is major. We're talking like 8 hours sometimes. Yeah. It's incredible.
I grew up in a family that has more women than men. Mm-hmm. So the hair struggles, I saw them up front from the time I was a kid.
For sure.
One of my cousins has been growing her dreadlocks for about 21 years now.
Wow.
They are magnificent. Yeah. And she's one of those people that does her hair herself.
Mm.
And she used to do our hair as well. And we'd always have to find different types of products and try mix and match with this one and whatnot. Mm. So Afrobotanic sounds like something that a lot of people have been looking for.
We solve the problem for so many. But yeah, you're right. I've got an 8-year-old daughter and I was feeling sorry for her because she wanted braids. Mm. And she was in the chair for like 8 hours. Imagine an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
But that's what she wanted, you know. But the fact that we, you know, from a young age, but now she has the opportunity to learn how to take care of her own hair.
Yeah.
Something that I never had the opportunity to do.
And you know, when I think about like our hair, it's we can style it in so many different ways. Sometimes you're like, you know, when you see a dog and there's 7 balls that are thrown in its direction, you don't know.
It doesn't know which one to pick.
Yeah, it's like,
well,
okay.
I know, again, like every time I've worked with some of the amazing black women I've worked with, their hair changes way more regularly. Yeah, right. And there's so much more exciting shit going on there than with somebody who's always got a ponytail. Do me a favor. Okay, so like my hair's been the same forever. It's boring as hell. Yeah. But I remember every single time, like even Pumi.
Yeah.
Like every other week she surprises me and I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it does. It changes regularly. So, okay, we've talked a bit about your company and about what Old Mutual SME Go does. But as an entrepreneur, do you get asked for advice often by young people who want to get into owning their own business, running their own business, starting up something from scratch?
Yeah, all the time. And I think that's what I'm liking about the SME Go platform and just that family where they're trying to bring entrepreneurs together so that we are able to connect. Because when I started out, it's so difficult to understand the world of retail. How does retail work? The pricing, how to price your product. I mean, I made huge major mistakes pricing products. And that's because there was no one to ask at the time. And even when you go into the MBA, you don't get some of the inner information around how retail works. And a lot of entrepreneurs want to put their products in retail. And being able to advise them and guide them to say, look, retail is a big boy's game. It's about numbers. It's about moving volumes. And perhaps rather start on a take-a-lot, for example, than...
Sure.
So I love being able to share and guide people.
And is your stuff available on there as well?
On Takealot, it is available. It is available. But we actually want to be more aggressive on that platform. I think there's a huge opportunity there.
And do you have a place where people can go to find out more about your business?
Yes, we have our website, afrobotanics.com.
Very good.
Yeah, we're available at Clicks.
Amazing.
And all of those kind of stores.
Well, this is very inspiring, and I'm so glad we got to spend a bit of time with you this morning.
To meet an entrepreneur like yourself, too. I did bring some
Jack,
products.
That's not for you.
No, I'm holding it up for the camera.
I did bring some products, though.
Let's have a look. Let's take a look.
I thought I was talking to a female.
That's beautiful.
So, yeah, these are some of the products. I have a collaboration with Coop.
I've seen these on the shelves.
And we have.
What are these? Just tell us what they are.
So this is like a strengthening reconstructor hairspray to soften and strengthen your hair. This is a hair conditioner. This is the thing that most women want, which is like your hair growth and hairline.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So is this as well, a hair oil to help with your... Oh, and we have a really great gel because I think you're wearing hair gel.
I use like a leave-in conditioner. My thing, but I mean, don't try and help me with this hair. You're gonna have everyone who has tried has had a terrible time.
Good hair.
That's not bad. It's okay. Thank God, because I would look terrible bald. I had this conversation with a friend of mine yesterday. I'm like, if I were bald, I'd be very ugly. Very. Okay, so listen, Don Benhle, it's been an absolute pleasure spending time with you.
Yeah, it's been great.
And I'm so glad that you got to be with us this morning. You can find out more at Afrobotanics on their website. Don Bentley Makola, it is a pleasure to have you here. Oh, why did they put that down? They gave me their wrong surname. How embarrassing. Sorry, I promise you that's what's written here. Otherwise, I would have done it right.
I'm sure it's our people.
All right, there we go. This is the Gareth Cliff Show on The Real Network, and we will be back Wednesday morning. Jack.
Yeah.
Thank you for being on the show, dude.
Oh, man, it's been an absolute pleasure.
We've had so much fun. We'll see each other again soon.
Yeah, we will.
Don't you worry.
Definitely.
In the meantime, check out Jack's show. He's with the Podcast Party, and he's on live on a Tuesday morning.
Yes, it's The Pod with Jack Mutlante. Join the journey, people.
Excellent. And I will see you tomorrow on The Burning Platform, which is also right there. Mm-hmm. And on Friday, right back here in our new little setup, which I love.
Yeah, this is cool.
Very good. Mm. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a good week. We'll see you Friday. Bye.